Hello, my friends, and welcome to True Religion Radio. I'm your host, Paul Drockton, and today I want to talk about the brilliance, the power, basically, we can say the blessings that have come because of him. And of course, I'm referring to Martin Luther. Now, Martin Luther was a reformer, and I guess you can kind of say it was kind of forced upon him. He just couldn't put up with evil. And he had a great love for God and for his fellow man. And because of him, the world today has so much more truth in it. So let's talk about him a little bit. Now, Martin Luther basically was expected when he was growing up that he would either become a lawyer or do something useful that would benefit his family. And instead, he chose to go into the ministry and become a monk. Now, the way it happened is he was walking one evening and a terrible storm came up. Lightning hit right by him. And lightning just kept coming down. And so he told the Lord, he said, "Look, if you spare my life, I promise you, I will go into the ministry and I will serve you for the rest of my days." Well, the Lord spared his life and he went into the monastery. And when he was in seminary, which is where he was learning how to become a monk, one of the things that he would do is he would go into confession every single day. And he would spend hours in front of the priest confessing his sins. And then he just didn't feel like any of his burdens were being lifted. And he didn't understand it. And he realized that no matter what he did, he was a sinner. That it was virtually impossible for him not to sin. Because there's sins of commission, right? Doing evil. And there's sins of omission, which means choosing the greatest good for your time, right? So here I am talking to you, right? I could be at the homeless shelter in a soup kitchen, right? Feeding people. A potential sin of omission. Long story short, the guilt was excruciating for him, and he turned to the scriptures for solace, and finally he came upon a scripture in Paul where it says, "By grace ye are saved after all ye can do." And the light clicked on, and he realized that we do all we can do, and then we're saved by grace. Do all we can do, and you're saved by grace. After all we can do. And all of a sudden, he had peace and he had happiness because he knew that his offering was accepted by the Lord. And so that happiness and that joy he felt, he truly did want to share as much as he could. But what ended up happening is that during this time, the papacy was run by the Medicis. And the Medicis were of a Venetian family, extremely wealthy, basically bought the papacy, and extremely corrupt. Catholic historians will tell you the same thing I'm telling you right now. And Martin Luther had the opportunity to go to Rome during their reign. And he was looking forward to this incredible spiritual experience. He thought, "Wow, I'm literally going to the city of God here." Well, when he got there, it was worse. Think of Bangkok, and that's pretty much what it was. We're talking Sin City here, okay? There was so much degradation, so much corruption, so much evil that he was totally disgusted. And when he came back, he, of course, began to question his beliefs and his faith. Well, the other thing that was going on at this time is the Medici Pope, who had exhausted the papal treasury, said, "You know what? I need more money." And so he told people, I believe it was St. Peter's Basilica, that he was going to build with the money. And he sold indulgences. Indulgences were sold as a way for you or for your loved ones, right, to buy their way out of purgatory. And so there was a salesman commissioned by the Pope to go throughout Europe and persuade people to buy these indulgences. Of course, he got a nice commission for doing so, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back for Martin Luther. He just said, you know what? No, money does not buy your way out of purgatory or hell or anything else. And so he put together his, I don't remember the number, 78, whatever, theses, and he nailed it to the Wittenberg Chapel. It was nothing more than it was just a call to repentance, thinking to himself that, you know, if people knew how corrupt this was, or all the corruption that was going on, they would repent, they would change. Here's this lowly monk, right, challenging the mighty Medicis. Didn't go well at all. Now, fortunately for Martin Luther, in the Holy Roman Empire, there were individuals known as electors, and these electors would select the emperor for the Holy Roman Emperor. And one of these electors was the Elector of Saxony, and he himself was asked to be the emperor. That's how well-known and popular this guy was, and he just took Martin Luther under his wing. So Martin Luther remained in his protection while he continued his work. Now, one of the great things that Martin Luther believed is that every man should have the scriptures. He honestly believed all men are equal and that every single man has a right to the word of God, because the scriptures are for everyone. They shouldn't be hidden from the common man. They shouldn't be in a foreign language. They should be in the native tongue. And so he translated the Bible into German. And again, he talked to any scholar, it's still considered the most correct, if one of the most correct, if not the most correct, translations. So, long story short, is as the Reformation began to kick off, right, and Lutheranism, as it was called, began to flourish, especially within the Holy Roman Empire, papacy decided that Luther was public enemy number one, and they demanded that he appear before them at the Diet of Worms. And basically, it was a council. He went, stood before the council, tried to plead his case, and to his surprise, he didn't get a word edgewise with these people. They wanted him dead. They wanted to kill him for heresy. So he took a break from hearing, went to the front steps of the building, and a carriage appeared out of nowhere. Men in hoods, masks, jumped out, grabbed him, threw him in the back of the carriage, and lo and behold, all of his works were back there with him. All of his books, all of his writings, all of his research was there. And it seems that his great benefactor, the Elector of Saxony, had come to save him and whisked him away, where he was permitted to do his work in seclusion, in hiding, right? And we owe a great debt to Martin Luther, because if it wasn't for him, you and I, we wouldn't be able to read the scriptures today. We wouldn't have the freedoms that we have. It's because Martin Luther took that first step, that first courageous step, and said, hey, this is wrong. And I'm telling you, he was a man of God. He loved God, and he loved his fellow man, and he gave everything he had for everyone else. Truly a saint, like very few others. And the last thing I want to point out here is that God, remember, everything works out for the benefit of us. Everything works out for the benefit of the righteous. Everything works out for the benefit of humanity. Everything does. But God has his own time frame. And sometimes it takes thousands of years for things to get where he wants them to be. And to him, a moment or a day or a year is nothing. It really is. So we need to understand that we're not here to change the world. We're here to live in the world and not be of the world, and to show our loyalty to Jesus Christ, just like Martin Luther did, to dedicate ourselves to him and to look around us and realize that there isn't anything else on this earth that should be drawing our attention away from him. Nothing. It all belongs to him. And remember what Paul said, by grace we are saved after. It's important to say that word, after all we can do. So we need to do everything we can, and then grace kicks in. And that, my friends, is how we're saved, through the atonement of Jesus Christ. This is Paul Drockton. God bless. Martin Luther for his kindness. And I'm not Lutheran, but I'm grateful for the work that he did. And we'll continue to discuss other historical individuals that have contributed greatly to the causes of God. God bless. Have a great day.